reason to sing this morning. And it's because of Jesus that we are here today. Let me invite you to take your Bibles and to find with me the Gospel of John, the Gospel of John, the 14th chapter. As you're turning there in your Bibles, a special welcome to those who that are visiting and joining us via Facebook Live this morning. I had a member, Keith DeBean, texted me this morning and said that he would be watching from Puerto Rico. And so hello to Puerto Rico and everyone else who happens to be watching us through Facebook Live. What a great opportunity to continue to share the gospel, not just here in Yorktown, but all over the world. I've had many people tell me they were on vacation and were able to tune in. And Jeff Miller, who is a truck driver, leaves on Sunday mornings to start his week. And he said he started to tune in on Facebook Live as he's driving his truck. And so just a great opportunity to continue to share the Word of God around the world. And whenever you can't be here, I hope that you'll join us through that. I want to say a special thank you to all of those who helped to re-transform our sanctuary from Jerusalem back to what you see here. And a special thank you for all of those who are part of that. And what a great time that we had in Easter praise. And thank you so much for all of those who had a special part in that. We're continuing a sermon series that I started the 1st of April entitled Living Hope. And just talking about how the fact that Jesus came into this world, He gives us living hope. Today we're going to talk about the hope of the helper. I want you to think for just a moment and pretend like you are going on a vacation. Who's ready for a vacation? Yes. So you're going on a trip. Maybe it's not a vacation. Maybe you're just going on a trip. You're going out of town. What types of things will you do before you leave town? Of course, you're going to pack your bags. I know that's an important thing. You're going to make sure all your bags, your belongings are together. You may or may not call someone to watch your dog. That's something we have to do. Somebody's got to make sure the dog's taken care of and fed while we're gone. You may have to call and have your mail stopped. You know, you don't want to have your bills to start piling up in your mailbox. And not many people get mail much anymore. But anyway, you should stop your mail from coming, or at least have your neighbor pick your mail up before you leave town or while you're away from town. You may decide to mow the grass. The one thing I can't stand is to come home from vacation and the grass is, you know, up to your knees. And so I make sure I cut it the day before I leave or the day of that I leave. And that way, so when it gets back, it's not quite as big as it should be or could be. And so you want to make sure that's done. You know, one thing my mom always did is she did the spring cleaning right before we left. I never could quite figure that out. But everything was just perfect clean whenever we left to go on a vacation. So I guess so that when we got home from the vacation, she didn't have to do that. So that's a good thing to think about. You know, all of those things are important. And we should do those things, and I guess if you're getting ready to go somewhere. But I want you to think for a moment, what's the difference between that and, let's say, you know that your days here on earth are coming to an end? What types of things would you do? What types of things would you take care of before you left this world? It's interesting that Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, the one that we worship and the one that we celebrated last Sunday being resurrected from the dead, Jesus took care of some very important things before He left this world. Jesus took care of some very important things before He decided, or before God the Father decided it was time for His work on earth to end. One of the things that Jesus did is that He gave us the hope of the Holy Spirit. He gave us the hope of the Holy Spirit. And what I want to do for a moment this morning is just concentrate, focus in on the significance of the Holy Spirit. If you have your Bibles, John chapter 14 is a great passage of Scripture to go to, because Jesus is talking to His disciples, and His disciples are discouraged at this moment. His disciples are discouraged because Jesus has just come to them and said, "Hey, I'm about to go to Jerusalem. And when I go to Jerusalem, I'm going to die. When I go to Jerusalem, I'm going to die upon the cross for the sins of mankind." And so His disciples were discouraged. How do we know that? Because verse 1 says, "Let not your hearts be troubled." Most of the time when you tell somebody, "Let not your hearts be troubled," that means their heart was troubled. And so His disciples were troubled. They were discouraged. And so Jesus comes to them to give them a word of encouragement. And a part of the word of encouragement that Jesus provides for them is the hope of the Holy Spirit. The hope that the Holy Spirit would come after Jesus left this world. And so with that in mind, let's look together at John chapter 14. And if you would, stand in honor of reading God's word this morning. And I want us to begin in verse 15. He says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, with whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." Listen to this great comforting word. Jesus says, "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me." He's talking about his resurrection at that moment. "Because I live, you also live. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, "Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world?" And listen to Jesus' answer. "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the person and the power of the Holy Spirit. God, I thank you that you did not leave us as orphans. God, you came and you indwelt us. You have indwelt us with your Spirit. And God, I just pray that you would help us this morning to be encouraged and to be challenged by the hope of the Holy Spirit today. God, I pray that your Spirit, the Spirit of truth, would speak to us and help us to understand these things as we meet together. Thank you for your word that is sharper than a two-edged sword. Thank you, God, that we hold it in our hands, and yet, God, it abides in our hearts. Father, speak to us, we pray, through your Spirit. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen and amen. You can be seated. As we look at this passage of Scripture together, I want you to notice with me three wonderful truths about the Holy Spirit. Number one, I want you to see the presence of the Spirit. Notice the presence of the Spirit. We go back to verse number 16. Again, Jesus is encouraging his disciples. He's trying to give them something to hold on to because he has just told them that he is about to depart. He's about to go to Jerusalem where he will die, where he will suffer, where he'll be raised again on the third day. They are discouraged. He says to them in verse 16, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper." Everybody say, another helper. Now, what's so interesting about this passage is the key word is in verse 16 is the word another. There are two different Greek words that can be translated another. One of them is allos, and the other is heteros. Kind of hear that word heteros a little bit in our vocabulary. But allos means another of the same kind. Heteros means another of a different kind. So, for example, if I was to hold up this morning a Golden Delicious apple. Hey, who likes Golden Delicious? That's my favorite, all right? So, Golden Delicious apple. If I was to hold up a Golden Delicious apple in front of the congregation and I said to you, I am going to give the ushers, a basket full of apples, and they are going to distribute some other apples to you this morning, to every person who is present. However, when I went to the grocery store, I wasn't able to obtain all Golden Delicious apples. Maybe they ran out for some reason, and so I had to purchase some Red Delicious apples and maybe some Granny Smiths or something like that. And some of you in the congregation are going to have red apples, and some of you are going to have Golden Delicious apples. Now, those with the red apples would have another of a different kind. You'd have another of a different kind. That's heteros kinds of apples. But those that are holding the Golden Delicious would have another of the same kind, which is allos. I say all of that because I want you to understand that the word that Jesus uses in this passage is the word allos. Another of the same kind. And so when he says here, I'm going to send to you another helper, Jesus was comforting his disciples by assuring them that they did not need to be troubled because he was leaving, because he was going to send them a helper who was just like him. He was going to send them a helper who was just like him. Another helper was coming. Have you ever wished that you could just sit down with Jesus? Just sit down face to face with him, have a conversation with him. Have you ever found yourself longing to tell him about your day, ask him to help you make sense of it all? I want you to understand, because we have another helper just like Jesus Christ, we can do that daily. Imagine for just a moment that there was an announcement made that Jesus was in Jerusalem. Jesus right now, today, was in Jerusalem. If that was to occur, all the airlines would change their routes and begin to fly more and more flights into the Middle East. There would be all types of people that would be making their way to see Jesus. And even if you managed to get into Jerusalem, I imagine that it would be almost next to impossible because of the great crowds, the people that were there, to actually be able to get into the presence of Jesus Christ. But I want you to know this morning, we do have access. We do have access to the Holy Spirit right now and forever. And this Holy Spirit is just like Jesus. Now, we can't see him with our eyes, but he is there. He is there. That's the promise of the Holy Spirit. Even better, not only is the Holy Spirit just like Jesus, but his function is to be our helper. I don't know about you, but there are times in my life where I need a helper. And there are times in my life where I need someone that I can call upon, that will help me in my walk with Christ. And listen, other translators translate the word helper this way: counselor or comforter. Aren't those great? I don't know about you, but there are times when I need a counselor. There are times when I need a comforter. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit functions as all of those. The word that's used here is the word paraclete. And a paraclete basically means someone who comes alongside of someone else. Someone who comes alongside of someone else to offer them encouragement, to shoulder the responsibility that they have, to come alongside of us. That's what Jesus says he is sending to us in the Holy Spirit. About, I guess it was, trying to think now, I guess it was about 14, 15 years ago. Man, it's hard to believe it's been that long. I had the responsibility of teaching my girls how to ride a bicycle. All right? How many of you ever taught somebody how to ride a bicycle? Okay? It's a challenging endeavor to teach someone how to ride a bicycle. First of all, you start out with training wheels. Now, that's not too bad. Okay? You've got the training wheels on there, and it's pretty easy to hold, pretty easy to stay steady. It's pretty easy to stay in the right direction. But after a while, the training wheels come off. And that's when the challenge starts. Because what you have is you have dad running alongside of the bicycle as the child, Alyssa or Kayla, are pedaling, and I've got one hand underneath the seat, and they're pedaling and they're scared, and I'm encouraging them, just relax and keep your wheel straight and keep it steady. And one of the things you have to say is, I've got you. I've got you. But there's got to be a moment when you got to let go. But when you let go, I'm right here in case you fall. Or I should say, when you fall. Because there's going to be a crash. And when that crash comes, and when that crash occurs, that I need to be there to pick up my child and to give him a hug and say, it's going to be okay, it's going to be all right, but you need to get back up on that bicycle. But I'm going to be right here for you, right beside you. That's what the Holy Spirit is to us, friends. He is there. He is with us. He is our helper. He is our counselor. Yes, we're going to fall off the bike. Yes, we're going to crash from time to time. But let me remind you that we're not alone. God has sent us the Holy Spirit, another helper, to be with us all throughout our lives. What a great promise from the Lord Jesus Christ to those downhearted disciples. What a great promise to us today. He has given us the Holy Spirit. Number two, I want you to see the purpose of the Holy Spirit. There are several purposes of the Holy Spirit that are found here in this passage of Scripture. There are other purposes of the Holy Spirit that are found in other passages of Scripture. We did a sermon series last summer on the different doctrines of the faith, and we spent at least one Sunday, maybe two Sundays, talking about the Holy Spirit. But I want you to notice three of the purposes of the Holy Spirit found here in verse 17 and following. He says it here. He says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. The first purpose of the Holy Spirit is he comes to live within us. He comes to live within us. Again, the end of verse 17 says, you know him, for he dwells with you and, underline this, and will be in you. You see, not only does the Holy Spirit come alongside of us as our helper, but also the last phrase says, he will be in you. That means that he abides in you. Judas, verse 22, not Iscariot, had a question. Aren't you glad Jesus allows questions? I'm so glad Jesus allows questions, because I have questions from time to time. And Judas asked the question, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? And listen to his answer. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. My Father will love him, and he will come to him. And it says, we will come to him and make our home with him. I want you to look at something with me. Chapter 14. In chapter 14, at the beginning of the passage, the Bible says this in verse number 2, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? Now, obviously, this passage that I just read, verses 1 and verse 2, is talking about our heavenly home. It's talking about heaven. We read this passage of Scripture often, funeral messages that I do. But I want you to notice something. At the end of verse number 2, he says, I go to prepare a place for you. The word place that's used there in verse number 2 and the word home that's used in verse number 23 are the exact same words. Verse 23, what's he say? He's not talking about our heavenly home. No, he's saying, I will make our home with him. He's saying, I'm going to make our home with him. One of the most encouraging facts of Christianity is that the Comforter not only comes alongside of us, but he also comes inside of us. Back in the Old Testament time, Jesus, or God the Father, he dwelt with his people in a place. It was the tabernacle at first. Whenever they wanted to go into the presence of God, they had to go to the tabernacle. Then later they built a temple, and that's where the presence of God was. And if they wanted to be in the presence of God, they went to the temple. But listen, friends, because Jesus Christ died on the cross, rose again on the third day, their curtain was torn in two. Because of that, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives within those who call upon Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. One of the scariest things in the world is to think that you're alone. I want you to know this morning, if you have Jesus Christ as your Savior and as your Lord, you are never alone. Not only does Jesus promise us in Matthew chapter 28, at the end of that chapter, when he says, Behold, I am with you always, even until the end of the age, but also it says right here that the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within his children. The Holy Spirit comes to live within us. And then number two, the Holy Spirit comes to teach us all things. He comes to teach us all things. Look at verse 26. It says, But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. I love that. John MacArthur calls the Holy Spirit the believer's resonant truth teacher. The Holy Spirit is the believer's resonant truth teacher. In verse number 16, when Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit, he calls him, or verse 17, he says, even the Spirit of truth. He's the Spirit of truth. He's our helper. He's our counselor. He teaches us all things. The Holy Spirit has been given to you. He has been given to us so that whenever we get in a situation and we don't quite understand what the Bible is saying, you can pray and say, God, I don't understand this. Would you allow your Spirit to give me understanding? And you can, listen, I think it's a great promise to keep in mind, because the Bible says here in this passage of Scripture, He has been given to us to teach us all things. When we don't know where to go, we can always go to the Holy Spirit and ask Him to teach us the truth of God's Word. Yes, I've been to college and I've been to seminary and done all the studies. I've been preaching for 20-some years now. But there are passages of Scripture that I still don't understand. I mean, there are times when I'm reading a passage and I just get stuck. I mean, let's just be honest. Who gets stuck? You know what you do when you get stuck? Pray to the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, I don't understand what this is saying, but I believe that you are the teacher. I believe that you have been sent here by God to lead us and to guide us into all truth. And God, would you reveal this passage of Scripture to me right now? I encourage you to do that when you get stuck. Understand that the Holy Spirit has been given to us to be our teacher of all things. And then number three, the Holy Spirit comes to point us to Jesus. The Holy Spirit's number one priority is to point us to Jesus. Look at the end of verse number 26 again. He will teach you all things, and listen, and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. When the Holy Spirit makes His home in His disciples, He begins His ministry of pointing us to Jesus. Throughout the New Testament, we find the Holy Spirit doesn't take the spotlight and shine it upon Himself. Rather, the Holy Spirit takes the spotlight. He is the spotlight operator, and one of His number one priorities is to always focus that spotlight on Jesus Christ. Amen? That's why whenever I hear someone talking more about the Holy Spirit than they do Jesus, I get very concerned. Yes, we do need to focus on the Holy Spirit. He is a part of the Trinity. But listen, friends, the Holy Spirit's primary job is to focus our attention, focus our love, focus our affection towards Jesus Christ. That's what the Holy Spirit does. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life and in my life. Finally, number three, notice this. Notice the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I did not read this passage of Scripture to you a moment ago, so go back to verse number 12. Verse number 12, the Bible says this, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." So, what is Jesus saying here? It sounds like He's telling us that we will be able to do some of the same things that Jesus has done. And not only that, it sounds like that we will do greater works than the things that Jesus did. Now, that sounds pretty remarkable, doesn't it? Most of the time when we read this, we think about physical miracles. Physical miracles. And we think to ourselves, well, there's no way I could raise the dead. There's no way that I could heal somebody like Jesus healed somebody. But listen, I think as I study this passage of Scripture, and some of you took the class on Wednesday nights a couple of months ago where we talked about the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit comes alongside of us and encourages us and strengthens us. And the Holy Spirit, what Jesus is saying here is that when the Lord spoke of His followers performing greater works, He was referring to the extent of the spiritual miracle of salvation. You see, there's no greater miracle than the miracle of salvation. There's no greater miracle than the miracle of salvation. Hello? And when He says here, you will do greater works than I will do, I think He's primarily referring to the miracle of salvation. Listen, Jesus never preached outside of Palestine. But His disciples did. And you and I have the opportunity to preach outside of Palestine. Right? We sent a team of students down to Argentina to share the gospel, and they share the good news of Jesus Christ in a different country. Listen, we have the opportunity today, right now, to take the gospel of Jesus Christ across the street in our neighborhoods around the world, and what a great privilege it is. His followers spread the gospel throughout the world. Jesus had only a very limited outreach to Gentiles. But the disciples would reach the entire Gentile world with the gospel. Jesus had an opportunity to minister and to lead hundreds of people to follow Him. Hundreds. What does the Bible tell us happens in the book of Acts? The book of Acts, the Bible says the very first time Peter stood to preach, 3,000 people gave their lives to Jesus Christ. You see, friends, because of the power of the Holy Spirit, we are able to see God work and change hearts and change lives like never, ever before. And just in case there's any doubt about it, I want you to be reminded this morning of Acts 1, verse 8. Acts 1, verse 8. Jesus speaking after His resurrection and before His ascension said to His disciples, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." You will receive what? Power. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And then you will be My witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the very ends of the earth. The word power that is used in that passage, Acts 1:8, the word power there is the word dunamis. We get our word dynamite from it. You, friends, because the Holy Spirit has come into the world, because the Holy Spirit has come into you, you have the power to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. The hope of the Holy Spirit. And just in case you think this is all just hot air this morning, understand this. The Holy Spirit came in Acts chapter 2. We call it the day of Pentecost, don't we? The Holy Spirit came in Acts chapter 2, and I want you to just go and listen. Listen to what happens in Acts chapter 2, and beginning of verse 1. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So many times I think we read that passage of Scripture and just glance right over it. But I want you to understand this morning the power of the Holy Spirit that came upon that place. The power of the Holy Spirit that came upon that place as they heard this sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the whole place where they were seated, and the divided tongues and all of the things that took place. And then here comes Peter, the one who denied Jesus Christ, and Peter stands up and preaches this fantastic sermon in Acts chapter 2. And the power of the Holy Spirit came upon Peter in a magnificent way. And listen to what happens at the end of Peter's sermon. He says, verse 40, "With many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, 'Save yourselves from this crooked generation.' So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls." 3,000 souls got saved on the day of Pentecost. Why? Because the power of the Holy Spirit came upon Peter, and Peter shared the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the New Testament church was birthed. And as you walk through the book of Acts, the book of Acts is basically all about the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit's power and the Holy Spirit's opportunity and the way that the Holy Spirit works in people's lives. It's amazing what God does with the power of the Holy Spirit. He came to His disciples and He gave them hope. The hope of the Holy Spirit. And listen, friends, we now live on the other side of the resurrection. We now live on the other side of the day of Pentecost. And the Holy Spirit has come, and the Holy Spirit continues to come into the people's hearts and lives who give themselves over to Him. And so this morning, let me encourage you with three practical applications. And they're not on the screen. I wrote these down this morning. Okay? Three practical understandings of the Holy Spirit. Number one, understand and thank God daily for the presence of the Holy Spirit. Understand and thank God daily for the presence of the Holy Spirit. Listen, the Holy Spirit is just another demonstration of God's grace. He did not have to give us the Holy Spirit, just like He did not have to give you salvation. But in His grace, His amazing grace, He gave you salvation and He gave you the Holy Spirit if you're a believer this morning. And we should praise Him every day for the presence of the Holy Spirit. Number two, ask the Holy Spirit to teach you all things and to point your attention to Jesus. Ask the Holy Spirit to teach you all things. When you get stuck, when you're not sure which direction to go in and how what the Bible means, ask the Holy Spirit to teach you all things and then remind you to point your direction. Point your direction towards Jesus. And then number three, allow the power of the Holy Spirit to use you to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. People say, you know what, I just don't know what to say. I don't know how to do it. That's good, because you don't have to. You don't have to. The Holy Spirit has already been given to you. The Holy Spirit has already empowered you. You just be led by the Holy Spirit. And allow the Holy Spirit to speak through you. Allow the Holy Spirit to give you the words to say, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus is alive today, friends. But He has not left us alone. He has sent us His Holy Spirit. Oh, Father God in heaven, we thank You so much for the person of the Holy Spirit. God, we thank You that You did not leave us here alone. You did not leave us here as orphans, but God, You sent us Your Spirit. And God, I thank You this morning for the truths that we have considered today. Thank You, God, that Your Spirit has been given to us to live within us. Your Spirit has been given to us to teach us all things. Your Spirit has been given to us, God, so that we can be directed and pointed towards Jesus. God, thank You for the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Father, I pray for my friends that are here this morning, those who have never put their faith and trust in Christ, they want today to have the Holy Spirit indwelling them, living within them. God, I pray that today they would trust in Jesus Christ alone for salvation. Receive the free gift of salvation and also receive the Holy Spirit today, this morning. May the example of Whitley encourage someone else to surrender their life to Jesus. Father, I pray for those in this room today who know Jesus as Savior and as Lord. And God, they needed to hear today the hope of the Holy Spirit. God, I pray that You'd help us today to walk out of this place empowered by the Spirit of God to be Your witnesses in Yorktown, in Virginia, in the United States, and all over the world. Father, may You have Your way in our hearts, in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with me, church family, as we sing a song called Be Thou My Vision? And would you ask God this morning, if you're not sure about your salvation, if you're not sure that the Holy Spirit resides within you, if you want to make a decision today to trust in Jesus, believe in Jesus, follow Jesus in baptism, I'll be standing right down front. You come as God speaks to your heart. Just walk down these aisles. Somebody says, well, it's hard to walk down the aisle. Listen, the Holy Spirit's right there beside you, and He will help you as you walk down that aisle. But let's listen to God speak to our hearts, and let's respond this morning to His Word. as we sing this song together.